Hello, this is Utah Phillips, the golden voice of the Great Southwest, and you're listening to Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing. To keep our faces toward change and behave like free spirits in the presence of fate is strength undefeatable. Well, here we are again with Loafer's Glory, live in the studios of radio station KVMR, Nevada City, California. The little poem I just told you, I found written on a wall in the Albany, New York airport. It comes from Helen Keller. Yeah, I am Utah Phillips, and I'm here with Steve Baker, pushing the knobs and twirling the dials, the engineer. You're just listening to the Borsdorf, two of my favorite musicians. And as I say, we're here in KVMR, where you're going to hear music on community radio that you're not going to be able to hear anyplace else. The pick album this week at KVMR is Blossom Dearie Sings Songs of the Pipefitters Union. You go and look for it. We would also, of course, now I've had some letters from people out and about, you know, in other parts of the country where the program is played, wondering where Nevada City is, having trouble finding it on their maps, so I thought I ought to apprise them that Nevada City, in fact, doesn't exist. I made it up. This program actually emanates from a basement in Akron, Ohio, so you might as well stop looking for it. We'd like to welcome some new underwriters to the radio show as well. We'd like to welcome Swenson's Frozen Radio Dinners. It's on a rack around your neck so you can move around and eat while you listen to the radio. And then, lo and behold, we're glad to welcome aboard Ford Motors. This spring, Ford Motors offering the new Ford Kevorkian, where the exhaust vents straight into the interior, foolproof door locks and no window handles, the new Ford Kevorkian at your dealers today. Well, that's out of the way. Well, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to perambulate. I'm going to ruminate and reminisce in some ways about songs. Now, some folks have written to me or called me on the phone and say, you know, over the years you've made up a lot of songs that you never sing and that you never play. So, yes, I've dug some of those out. But mainly, it's a journey into song making, where songs come from. I've always believed that, at least me as a song maker, that, and I call a song maker because I don't write, you know, I don't write it, I make them up in my head, that nothing happens inside my head unless something happens outside first. And then that provokes me into addressing that, provokes me into building some language around it. A lot of times the language is taken right out of the people who are in that situation, taken right out of the conversations with them. I was staying with them, traveling with them, people who describe a situation to me that will eventually percolate up into a song. So these songs are cooperative efforts. They're cooperative endeavors. Well, I started out in this trade 30 years ago in Saratoga Springs, New York. It'll be 30 years this Thanksgiving. Washed up on the beaches of the East, strolling into the East, bearing the Western ethos in search of the Eastern wethos. Wound up at the Cafe Lena there in Saratoga Springs, New York, one of the oldest running coffee house. I didn't know what a coffee house was. I didn't know what folk music was. See? I was there about 3 weeks, camped on the floor at Lena Spencer's place, to dust devils under the tables the size of small sheep. They would attack you in the middle of the night. I got terribly homesick. Got terribly homesick for the Red Rock, for the emptiness, for Salt Lake City, for Utah, my home. I went down to the cafe, climbed the stairs. It was in the middle of the day. There was nobody there. I sat on a bench toward the back. I thought about the old home, and I made up this song here. It's called The Telling Takes Me Home.
Let me sing to you all the old songs I know of wild, windy places locked in timeless snow and white crimson deserts where the muddy rivers flow. It's sad, but the telling takes me home. Come along with me to some places that I've been, where people all look back and still remember when, and the quicksilver legends like sunlight turn and blend. It's sad, but the telling takes me home. We'll walk along some wagon roads or down the iron rail, past lines of rusty Cadillacs that mark the boomtown trail, where dreamers never win and doers never fail. It's sad, but the telling takes me home. I could tell you all some lies that were just made up for fun, where the loudest, meanest bragging could beat the fastest gun. And I'll show you nameless graves that tell the way the West was won. It's sad, but the telling takes me home. I'll sing of my amigos who come from down below and whisper in their loving tongue the songs of Mexico. They worked their stolen Eden lost so long ago. It's sad, but the telling takes me home. I'll sing about an emptiness the East has never known, where coyotes don't pay taxes and a man can be alone and yet have to walk forever just to find a telephone. It's sad, but the telling takes me home. Let me sing to you all the old songs I know of wild, windy places locked in timeless snow and white crimson deserts where the muddy rivers flow. It's sad, but the telling takes me home.
Well, imagine writing a song that leaves you hanging on the seventh chord, huh? The leading tone, without resolving back into the tonic. Well, it sure left me hanging, I'll tell you that. The songs, now let's see. I was down in coming through Monument Valley in the Four Corners part of Salt Lake. I've been playing in Flagstaff, Arizona. Went back up through the Navajo country. I used to work at St. Christopher's Mission of the Navajo in the early 50s down there in southern Utah by Montezuma Creek. I was on my way to play in Denver. I stopped off to get something to eat at a drugstore and soda fountain in Cortez, Colorado. Got involved in a conversation with an older gentleman, righteously older gentleman, working there behind the counter. Asked me where I was going, where I was coming from, and asked me if he was there all of his life. And gradually the story began to come out, which was his family story. A story about one of the great range wars, the wars over water, down in the Tularosas there in New Mexico, when the big cattle syndicates brought in the shorthorn cattle and replaced the longhorn cattle that were adapted to the desert and began to drive the syndicates began to drive the independent operations out of business. He said that there was a fellow that lived up in the mountains there by the name of Frenchie who grew apples and a fresh produce he could take into town to sell, but he ran some stock up there. But he had the water, you see, and the syndicate wanted it, and he wouldn't give it up. And finally they got a fellow by the name of Billy McNew, which I only found out lately is one of Billy the Kid's aliases. Billy McNew go up there and killed him. Well, that's, like I say, the family story that this fellow told me. On my way to Denver, though, as going north from Trinidad, this is the song that popped out called Dog Canyon, Canyon del Perro.
10,000 shorthorns are moving in fast. They drink lots of water, they eat lots of grass. Your penny stock brokers have made quite a change. Now our old outfits drove to the edge of the range. In Canyon del Perro there's grapes on the vine. The water runs sweet as an old Spanish wine. The high Tularosas, they make a fine home. Young Perry Altman was burned out last night. They shot George McDonald 'cause he wanted to fight. The days of the Longhorn are over, I guess, when your syndicate gunmen have run out the rest. In Canyon Del Perro there's grapes on the vines. The water runs sweet as an old Spanish wine. The high tula roses, they make a fine home for a man who don't mind living up there alone. Way up in Dog Canyon, old Frenchie holds out, half blind and crippled, but he never knows drought. He has the good water, tell me what would you do if you had to protect it from Billy McNew? In Canyon Del Perro there's grapes on the vine. The water runs sweet as an old Spanish wine. The high tula roses, they make a fine home for a man who don't mind living up there alone. He dreams of a village where the sun always shines. He dreams of his family when it comes Christmas time. He dreams in his doorway with a gun in his hand. And Oliver Lee says, you crazy old man. Well, Frenchie, he fires, but the shot, it goes wide. He falls to the floor with a hole in his side. And his water runs down to the ranches below, when the high tula roses are covered with snow. In Canyon Del Perro there's grapes on the vine. The water runs sweet as an old Spanish wine. The high tula roses, they make a fine home for a man who don't mind living up there alone. Up there alone.
Yeah. Canyon Del Perro, songs found along the side of the road. You know, the names in that McDonald, all those names are true, and those families are still down there. And, you know, I have, like I've said, this is this fellow's family story. I have, those people have come to me when I've been playing down there that are the descendants of those families to say, you know, you've got it all wrong. This is the way our family story is. So, but me, I don't write songs out of history. I write songs out of what people tell me, and sometimes it's wildly inaccurate. But, you know, reality is sculpted not by facts, but by people's impression of the facts, what they make out of the facts. Well, all right, here we are. Here I am now coming into Salt Lake on a freight train to Western Pacific, switched south from Ogden. It's cold. A bunch of us in the car. Been told that there's a house there outside of the Roper Yards of the DNRG&W with a red lantern hanging there, and that if I could find that place, it would have free food, a warm place, human companionship, and a big barrel full of old clothing. So I did find the place and fetched up there, and I've talked about this place before, the old Joe Hill House in Salt Lake City. House of Hospitality, one of the St. Joseph houses, Catholic Worker House, founded by Ammon Hennessy, the great Catholic anarchist, pacifist, draft dodger in two world wars, tax refuser, vegetarian, wise guy, one-man revolution in America, he called himself. Yeah, he took me in there. That was quite a place to winter in, too. Sheep herders had come down from up in Heber Valley, to lay over, and one of them taught me how to play Ragtime Annie on the mandolin down there as I was staying there. Ammon, he pushed a grocery cart 70 blocks a day to get produce and unlabeled cans from the grocery stores for food for all of us, and nobody knew it was in those cans, of course, but we open them and throw them into the stew pot anyway, so that stew sort of evolved over the winter. A big pot on the stove was always on there, and the good stuff would cake up at the bottom, so on a nail hanging next to it was a long-handled fork, and the people who'd been there a long time would know to reach down inside and break that cake loose and fetch up the edibles. See, well, we always sang on Friday night. That's a Catholic worker tradition. You have some sort of talk, you know. Ammon would talk about people he'd known, like Clarence Darrow and Eugene V. Debs. Then we'd sing. Well, now there was a big hobo jungle up there in the Weber Basin by Ogden called Pig Hollow. Been there since about 1900. It was down in the cottonwoods. And the shanties that were built out of flattened out oil drums and salvaged lumber. And they were raising chickens for the pots, what tramps call gumps. Or they raise them up in the forest. They're the forest gumps. No, stop that. But the vigilantes in Ogden swooped down one time with these weed burners like you use for cleaning brush off the edge of the highway. They set all the shanties on fire and drove everybody out of Pig Hollow. Well, they began to fetch up in the Joe Hill house. So this is the song that came out of that called Pig Hollow.
Slow rolling freight from the South Ogden yard, easing along down the line. The Pig Hollow jungle camp swings into view. You roll off and here's what you find. The ruins and ashes lie scattered around. The jungle is empty and bare. The shanties and tents are all burned to the ground. Not a fire or a friend anywhere. A rich man, he lives in a house made of stone, high on a hill looking down. A poor man, he lives in a tar paper shack, way out on the backside of town. But a rich man don't worry about his fine house. It's protected like you never saw. While a poor man gets railroaded out by the cops, his house gets burned down by the law. A poor man is fighting for all that he has. He stands with his back to the wall. A rich man, he spends nearly half of his life just chasing a little white ball. But a rich man, he says the Pig Hollow must go. It's a place where the crooks run to boo. But don't you suppose if you burn down the bank, you might flush a scoundrel or two? And don't you suppose if a bum with a torch set fire to some big fancy hall, the cops would come down like a bloodthirsty hound and just flat nail his hide to the wall? It seems like the laws are all made for the rich. They've got you boys win, lose, or draw. Well, try as you may to keep out of their way, you just get burned out by the law.
Well, that's it. Pig Hollow. And you know, it's another song in three-quarter time. Boom, chuck, chuck, boom, chuck, chuck. The waltz time. That's something I learned listening to old-time country music up there in the Yellowstone, where the guys working on the road crews where I was shoveling gravel showed me how to play the guitar. But you know, when they sang something that made them happy, it was generally in 4/4 time. Boom, chuck, boom, chuck. But these old sentimental songs that they sang, they're always in three-quarter time, was slowed down. And that just has gotten to be a habit with me when it comes time to match tunes up to words, up to stories. Yeah, the stories. I first met Ammon Hennessy in Salt Lake when he was picketing against capital punishment as a pacifist. And first doing it alone, and then gradually people began to join him more and more. The case, the particular case, was the case of Jesse Garcia. Jesse Garcia was a Chicano boy, terrible childhood, terrible events. I don't even want to describe what happened in his childhood. He was in prison, the state penitentiary out there, at the age of 16. Well, there he was taken over, manipulated, and abused by the older convicts. There was a big drug scandal out there, drug and sex scandal, and this is in the early 60s. And Jake Varner was killed up in the attic by some of the cons. He was killed by Rivenberg, Mac Merrill Rivenberg, and James Warner Bowen. Jesse Garcia was the lookout at the foot of the stairs. They put him down there. Well, all three of them were convicted of murder, and they were going to be executed. They used a firing squad in Utah. Well, we started the Life for Garcia Committee. Ammon sort of headed that up, and Ethel Hale, and we petitioned and we picketed. We did everything we could to get a commutation to life, to save his life. And it was to all no avail. They simply wouldn't listen. Well, Jesse, they were going to have a picket out there, a vigil, out on the by Point of the Mountain, the state penitentiary. Ammon was going to be out there, and they were going to be out there to sing and to pray. And as the sun came up, and they could hear the sound of the guns. I'd had enough of it by then. I stayed behind, sat at the Joe Hill house, and I made up a song. Now, this song here, Jesse's Corrido, was taken out of words from conversations with Jesse Garcia's sister, Jesse's Corrido.
On the corners together you'll find us, neath the street lamps at midnight we're there. Our spirits like smoke that blows through the night, restless but going nowhere. Trouble is all we can give you, but trouble is all we have known. Our lives like water that runs through our hands, leaving us unloved and alone. Our fathers, you say, were just like us. Our children will all be the same. Hair like black leather and skin brown as wood, speaking some low Spanish name. Remember the mothers who gave us our lives like grass in the spring of their years, and left us behind with hearts light as wine, their breaths undissolved by our tears. The things that I do are all very bad things. I do them and then don't know why. You hold up your children with blue or brown eyes and say they're much better than I. My friends, they too all despise me. I do all the wrong they have planned. And all that I have for the years of my life is a cross that I've cut on my hand. Put me in jail behind iron bars. You find me with blood on my hands. Tomorrow I'll stand up in front of your guns and give you the life you demand. But when you sit down at your table tonight with children and wife sitting by, recall this corrido my red blood has made, and now mis amigos goodbye.
It was the next morning when they all came back to the Joe Hill house that I find that at the last minute, Jesse Garcia's death sentence was commuted to life imprisonment. That was because Mac Merrill Rivenberg had had some drugs smuggled into him and committed suicide in his cell. He was a Catholic fella. James Warner Boehm was a Mormon boy. He's out free. He was free pretty shortly thereafter. Sometimes songs come up to you, the stories are events, the things that are taking place right in front of you. Weepy, well, he croaked Gumps. That's, he killed the chickens out in the chicken yard in back of this cafe. He washed the dishes for a small cafe in Western Washington State. It was over in Forks, Washington. He was slow. I mean, he was one of those people who just couldn't keep up, and that's why he was out on the trains. That's why he was doing jobs swamping in the bars and the cafes or pearl diving, you understand. He was just slow. We live in a culture that there always was things for slow people to do. What I mean, if you were naturally just kind of slowed down, couldn't keep up, you're growing up in a farm community, there was always work to do. Work for the cooper, you know, the barrel maker. Work for the drayer. You could even have a small farm, even get married. Everybody knew that you were a little slow. You might be the butt of a joke now and then, but still, you were among your own people, you know, and cared for. Well, those jobs have vanished, and that kind of life has vanished, but we haven't stopped creating. People are just slower than everybody else, and so they fetch up like Weepy in the clipper rooms of these small cafes. Now, sometimes the tramp will get the moniker Weepy from the rheumatic way that the eyes run, from smoke in the eyes. But this one, Weepy, got his name from the Western Pacific Railroad, which was always called the Weepy. I met Weepy in the cafe in Forks, Washington. I was sitting eating, and he came flying through the kitchen door with a load of dishes and a tray, and somebody tripped him, and all the dishes crashed to the floor and skittered across the floor at my feet. And I left, and then on the way down the road, I made up this song called Weepy Doesn't Know.
Everybody laughing, Weepy doesn't know. He just stands there grinning, I guess he's kind of slow. But Weepy don't get sore, seems like he asked for more. Look at all the broken dishes on the floor. Weepy don't do nothing, there's nothing he can do. Sometimes he takes all morning just to find his other shoe. Hey, goddammit, Sid, lay off the poor dumb kid. Come on, weep, I'll show you where it's hid. He's so damn good-natured, just laughs and takes his lumps. You never see him angry, except when he's croaking gumps. But that's no big surprise, it's right there in his eyes. Looks like Weepy's found him something more his size. Just like all these dishes, there's something in him broke. Don't guess we mean to hurt him when we play our little joke. But the social workers say he might have to go away. You ask him, I bet he'd like to stay. Why's everybody laughing? Weepy doesn't know. He just stands there grinning, I guess he's kind of slow. But Weepy don't get sore, seems like he asked for more. Look at all the broken dishes on the floor.
You're listening to Loafer's Glory with UUtah Phillips on community radio stations like KUOI-FM in Moscow, Idaho, and WRPI-FM in Troy, New York. Show comes with support from the National Hobo Association, publisher of the Hobo Times, Box 706, Nisswa, Minnesota, 56468, and the Haitian Fund of the Tides Foundation, marketing support from Duck's Breath. You can write UUtah Phillips at Post Office Box 1235, Nevada City, California, the zip code 95959. Or you can call for a complimentary newsletter catalog, 800-989-3825. We'll return to the second portion of today's show in just a moment.
Again, with the second half of Loafer's Glory, the Hobo Jungle of the Mind. Well, now, let me see. I was doing a benefit to save the Boulder Creek Theater in the mountains above Santa Cruz, a bunch of other people. And I got a call from a fellow named Tom Noddy, the bubble magician down in Santa Cruz, and he said, you know, a lot of us wanted to come up and see you and see that show, but we couldn't because, A, it cost too much, and, B, a bunch of us were in jail. So I felt bad about that. I went back down to Santa Cruz, and we put together a show, a fundraiser, to pay legal expenses for migrants. But I mean, these are migrants in old buses and old trucks, you painted up like Easter eggs, who would do day labor through the county. Camp out on the beaches, you understand, or in the county parks. And what had happened was that they were sure welcome when there was work to do, but when the season was out, they were being driven out of the state parks and out of the county parks. And finally, Tom Noddy organized a large protest, and all the vehicles were impounded, and they were thrown in jail over Christmas. So when I was able to sit down with Tom and go over the whole situation there during that show, which, by the way, we did with Tom Scribner, the great old communist musical saw player down there, and one of my great teachers. Before I went to bed that night, I was able to write them a song called Scott's Creek Bluff.
The North Coastal Highway rolls on forever, any jobs that need doing, any work you can use. No, thank you kindly, we don't need a handout, we'll pay our own way, it's the life that we choose. Climb aboard, Janie, we better get rolling. The sheriff's outside, this time he ain't fooling. Hold on to the baby, in a few hours maybe, we'll camp by the ocean with friends of our own. When there's work in your county, we always feel welcome. You treat us like neighbors, there's money to spend. But when the work's over, you close down the campground, your sheriff comes out, and we're vagrants again. Climb aboard, Janie, we better get rolling. The sheriff's outside, this time he ain't fooling. Hold on to the baby, in a few hours maybe, we'll camp by the ocean with friends of our own. Now in my mirror, your red lights are flashing. Pull over, get down, in a voice hard as stone. The questions, the searches, the cold, ugly laughter, the fines that will take all the money we own. Climb aboard, Janie, we better get rolling. The sheriff's outside, this time he ain't fooling. Hold on to the baby, in a few hours maybe, we'll camp by the ocean with friends of our own. Down on the beaches, the white surf is pounding, behind us the redwoods play catch with the stars. Circled together are friends of the highway, in campers and vans, old buses and cars. Around the big fire, there's good food and music till the warm evening fades with a slow fiddle tune. In silence we linger, the bad times forgotten, babies asleep neath our great silver moon. Climb aboard, Janie, we better get rolling. The sheriff's outside, this time he ain't fooling. Hold on to the baby, in a few hours maybe, we'll camp by the ocean with friends of our own.
As I contemplate that song, in fact, many of the songs I've played, there are stories that you're not going to find in the newspaper. And I guess that's why they sometimes called in the old days, when people didn't have newspapers, and the song makers made broadsides that sold for a penny a sheet, and they'd go through the streets peddling them. And that was the people's newspaper. There was all the stories that you couldn't find in the press. Or in any other place, and that was the job of the songmaker, the job of the ballad maker part was to pay attention to what was going on around him and then put those stories into the public consciousness. Not that I'm endowed with an exaggerated sense of mission, you know, songs, I I don't sit down and deliberately make up songs, you know. I have to wait for the muse to settle upon my none too broad shoulders and then kind of wait for it to pop out. And I don't even know what's going to pop out with what I want, for crying out loud. But nonetheless, you take this, like I say, it happens in the world around you. It rolls around in your head, joins up with a lot of other tunes and old things that you've learned, and eventually it will pop out if you let it alone. Now, there were all those tramps that were found dead in an orchard up there in Yuba City. A fellow named Juan Corona was convicted of that. But when I was in Chicago now visiting the office of the Industrial Workers of the World, old Fred Thompson, who edited our newspaper, he showed me the first newspaper clipping about that. And he said, now look, there's all these dead men out there, and nobody knows who they are. He said, you try going through life without your name, without any way of knowing anybody knowing who you are. He thought that was the important thing of it. Well, I did get out to Yuba. And I did have a chance to prowl around. I had worked in a box factory over in Marysville, across the river, and had hung out with some of those people, as it turned out. You know, we'd camp in the dead loads in the busted-up boxcars rather than pay rent before going back to the box factory. So when I got out there, I sat on the bank of the river there, and I made up this song called Yuba City.
I came into Yuba as soon as I read of all of those 25 hobos found dead. I came in to find out if one of the slain could have answered to my brother's name. It might be your brother, I just couldn't say. We hire lots of floaters who work by the day. Now I see his photo, they might be the same, but I never did ask him his name. If I had a list, and if I only knew, I'd write down the names and I'd sing them to you. And when I got done, I'd sing them again. You'd all know each one had a name. He had a room and ran out on the rent. Hired on a crew, I don't know where he went. If I knew his boss, I might make a claim, but I never did write down his name. He stopped for a drink every now and again. Didn't look no different than hundreds of men. You know, these old bums, they all look the same. No reason to ask him his name. If I had a list, and if I only knew, I'd write down the names and I'd sing them to you. And when I got done, I'd sing them again. You'd all know each one had a name. Might have been Shorty, the feller I knew. We bunked in the empties when the season was through. You know, I've been thinking it sure is a shame I never did ask him his name. We always abandon the old for the new, and secondhand people get thrown away too. I know it won't help, but still it explains why no one remembers their names. If I had a list, and if I only knew, I'd write down the names and I'd sing them to you. And when I got done, I'd sing them again. You'd all know each one had a name.
Yuba City, I guess you'd call that a newspaper ballad. I mean, it originally started out as a clipping from a newspaper that Fred Thompson read to me in Chicago. So I guess some of the news is there. It's just that it's got to be moved around some so that you get right at what's that issue there? What's right in the middle of that, you see? And emotionally, that's what it was for me, was being anonymous, nobody knowing who you are. See, nobody knowing who you are. A lot of times the stories are secondhand, almost like a rumor, like all the way back there to Dog Canyon. And then later on, you're going to be corrected about that story. This one was given to me by word of mouth up there in British Columbia when I was playing up there at a union hall. It was some benefits for the telecommunications workers who hadn't had a contract for a couple of years. But the fellow out in prison had killed himself, a fellow by the name of Billy Babcock, and it just raised a huge storm of controversy up there in British Columbia. And I wasn't involved in that. I was around the periphery of it, but I was sitting in a coffee shop downtown. I was having myself a bite to eat, and a song floated through my mind. See, Billy Babcock had a history of mental illness. When he was picked up on a robbery charge, he asked for a psychiatrist. He protested being sent to Ocala, the regular pen, out of fear of being worked over by the full-time cons. Well, somehow the pills he carried with him to fight depression were lost. The psychiatrist never came, and Billy Babcock hanged himself in his prison cell. Now, his court-appointed attorney said to the newspaper, "Billy is just one of thousands dancing through our courts every day." So that's the way the song came out. It was called Dancers.
Dancing through the courts, my partner's mad as I. The lady's blind, you know, she didn't see me die. She kept on dancing, she kept on dancing, she kept on dancing by. Billy Babcock's mad. For 10 years you all knew. Christ, why do you think I gave myself to you? You keep on dancing, you keep on dancing, you keep on dancing by. A doctor, little pills, you'll measure, make a test. I think Ocala's where I'll be beaten by the rest. You keep on dancing, you keep on dancing, you keep on dancing by. Ah, now, my pretty dancer, do you know how it felt? Dancing, dancing, dancing at the end of my belt. It felt. Dancing through the courts, my partner's mad as I. The lady's blind, you know, she didn't see me die. She kept on dancing, she kept on dancing, she kept on dancing by.
Well, that was Billy Babcock, yes, Lady Justice with the blindfold keeps on dancing by. And yeah, Billy did make that robbery, do that robbery. He did it, and he did it so that he would be picked up and so that he would be put away, you see, so he could get the kind of help that he needed. Well, now, Room for the Poor. Again, back to the Joe Hill House. Em and Hennessy had a faculty for raising money from obscure sources. He would go to the social action committees of the liberal ministry, to the Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Unitarians, God-fearing people, all of them, with the exception of the Unitarians, of course. And we would put on a little show where Em would talk about what it was like down at the Joe Hill House, what it was like by these people falling back and forth across the continent that would fetch up at the Joe Hill House out by the Roper Yards. And then we would sing songs that we had made up about the Joe Hill House and about that life. Now, one time Ammon said to me, you know, if the minister will stand up, if he's sold on the idea of putting a clothing or a food barrel, canned food barrel, in the lobby of the church so people can bring stuff and put in it on Sunday mornings, said if he'll get behind that, he'll stand up and pitch his own congregation, and they're going to follow along. So do you have a song that is going to provoke the minister into doing that? So, yeah, I wrestled with it for a while, and then I came up with this song called Room for the Poor. And I don't mean to sound cynical. Those people are very, very good to us, but this was a guaranteed damn $200 song.
One cold autumn morning, the leaves had turned brown. A hobo come tramping through a small western town. He walked through the churchyard to the preacher's back door, where he knew there was refuge and room for the poor. He knocked and then waited for the preacher to come with just a kind word for a broken down bum. the preacher arrived and looked out in dismay. With a few angry words, he drove him away. Oh, if you won't offer me something to eat, may I sit here a moment and rest my poor feet? I've traveled so far, now I'm weary and sore. Oh, say up in heaven, is there room for the poor? Is there room for the poor across the divide, where bums don't go hungry and freezing outside? Or will they be driven from the Savior's back door? Oh, say up in heaven, is there room for the poor?
Well, all right, now you see, what choice does the minister have? What choice do I leave him? Like I say, not to mean to be cynical, but it made the point. I guess that's that a song that has a utilitarian purpose, and I'll tell you, it paid off for all of us. Now, these are real simple songs. These are real simple tune models, mainly from I guess you'd call it the great well of tradition that all of our great music percolates up out of. And they're very simple verse models too. The old four square goes all the way back to the ballad tradition. It's the organic rhythm our language falls into when you don't mess around with it too much. And you know, if you leave the language alone, if you just talk, if you talk plain, and if you have enough words to try to say exactly what you mean, very often it comes out as poetry. You may not know it. It comes out as poetry. Woody Guthrie knew that. He regarded himself as an eavesdropper, and he would soak up those ringing phrases that popped up in everybody's conversation and sometimes assemble them into songs. Everybody can write songs. Everybody can sing songs. There's no sense consuming, just sitting around consume, like we consume, hamburgers. But you can damn well do it. And you don't have to fight with it. You relax your mind and you move right into it. And then that song comes out as another way to express yourself, as another way to deal with what's going on around you in the world. And song makers have always done this. Well, I'll give you an example of this. Now, there was this whole community system. Most of the stations that subscribe to the Loafers' Glory are community stations. The guy who founded this whole system in 1949 was Lou Hill. He founded community radio, and it's grown and grown and grown, and finally it grew into the Pacifica Network. KPFK, KPFA is the station that carries this show and puts it up onto the satellite. Well, been going through some serious rocky times lately, some serious trauma and convulsions. One of the primary voices for KPFA, for Pacifica, was Larry Bensky. For 30 years, sort of summarily discharged and shot out into the ozone for reasons that are still pretty obscure. Well, Larry felt bad about it. Like I say, you make up songs to express the way that you feel about your average annual ambient reality, and Larry did that. Now, he's not a singer. I think he'll amply demonstrate that. And he's not a song maker. He's a spieler. You know, he's a commentator on the radio. But he did it. And he did it. You can do it. We can all do it. So listen, this is a bootleg field recording of Larry Bensky singing the ballad, "I Dreamed I Saw Lou Hill Last Night."
Thank you, Utah, for this opportunity to do something I never dreamed of doing and probably will never do again, and that is sing on the air. I wrote these words to a melody that I'm sure your listeners will remember fondly, with apologies to the original composers. I wouldn't have done this if it wasn't a moment of crisis in the history of this organization. I'm, of course, like the rest of the staff of KPFA, urging everyone to get in touch with Pacifica and come to its senses. I'll talk a little bit more about this after this so-called performance is over. I dreamed I saw Lou Hill last night and asked him questions three. Well, Lou, I said, it's come to a head. What would you do if you were me? What would you do if you were me? Dear Larry lad, he looked kind of sad. Pacifica's had a good long run. 50 years are gone, but war's upon our planet. We must keep on. War is here, we must keep on. Stand up and be the tallest trees, and if they chop you down, be sure you leave all kinds of seeds. Who cares who wears the crown? Who cares who wears the crown? But Lou, I sighed, the folks inside don't get it anymore. They hire themselves and fire us elves. They don't care about love or war. They don't care about love or war. The hell with them, our mighty stem sometimes bears leaves of stone. A mighty play is KPFA. It's impossible to own. It's impossible to own. We've gotten to hear because no fear inside us could be born. No way this day, then so far away, is now a time to mourn. We don't have the time to mourn. So Lou, I asked, the present task is not so hard to see. When you were here, the way was clear. Just do it, don't follow me. Just do it, don't follow me. Yes, Larry dear, the goal is clear. With so many on our side, we can win this thing, the bells will ring. But don't forget, it's not about size, it's how we organize. And not how we harmonize, obviously. We're fighting. Staff of KPFA, the local advisory board, thousands and thousands of listeners trying to reverse Pacifica's precipitous action in firing our general manager without cause and without just review, then firing me, Larry Venske, for criticizing Pacifica's actions on the air. But really, I was fired for standing up at a board meeting in February and blowing the whistle on what I and many other people believe has become a top-heavy, secretive, bureaucratized, and unresponsive to the community organization, sadly out of tune with the traditions of Pacifica. If you want to know more about it, you can write to us online is the best way, savepacifica@hotmail.com. That's savepacifica@hotmail.com. You can see on the website that will then direct you to all of the documents and information and journalism that has happened around this, a very sad perversion of our mission, which happened to coincide with our 50th anniversary. So thank you all very much for your continuing support and interest. Thank you, Utah Phillips, for the time and for the great role you have played on Pacifica Radio and in our community over the years.
Well, thank you, Larry Venske, and not only for the stands you've taken, but for proving that anybody can write songs, anybody can sing songs. You know, that's a great lesson to us all, folks. Listen, pay attention. We're going to wind this down here with a song that a boomer song. You know, a boomer, a wandering worker, somebody goes from place to place, works hard, but doesn't do it in the same place all the time. The wealth of the West was built by boomers in the mines, in the hard rock mines in Montana, in the coal mines of Colorado, in the timber harvest, the wheat harvest, you understand, on the railroad. It boomed back and forth, created the wealth of the West, but never owned it. They just had to boom on to the next crummy job after somebody had made a whole lot of money out of their labor. I made up a song about that. Here are the gates of Lodore, where the Green River comes down through the Uinta Mountains. It's dammed now. That's the Flaming Gorge up by Dutch John. I guess that's, yeah, almost all the names in there explain themselves. So thank you very much for listening to me amble around amidst these songs that have been popping out of my head over the years. It's good for me to remember them, or they will fade away, and I won't be able to sing them anymore. Let's listen to She'll Never Be Mine.
Never. My love is a river where the white waters pour. I've hunted and trapped her through the gates of Lodore. She sings through a curtain of cold mountain rain, where I dug her bright silver in the high Coeur d'Alene. She'll never be mine. She'll never be mine. I've won all her treasures, the simple and fine. I guess she'll never be mine. My love's a cantina where I drink with my friends. I've called her Dolores or sometimes Cheyenne. I've followed her begging all over the West. My love is a headlight on the midnight express. She'll never be mine. She'll never be mine. I've won all her treasures, the simple and fine. I guess she'll never be mine. My love is Montana and the high Douglas fir. Many long summers I've labored for her. My love is the windrows of dry autumn corn that grew on the land where my children were born. She'll never be mine. She'll never be mine. I've won all her treasures, the simple and fine. I guess she'll never be mine. My love is a life that a boomer will lead. You bought her with lies and you chained her with greed. My love is a dreamer, I'll follow the dream. You say she's a beggar, I say she's a queen. Someday she'll be mine. Someday she'll be mine. I want all her treasures, so simple and fine. I know someday she'll be mine.
Well, thanks for being with us today. This is Utah Phillips, the golden voice of the Great Southwest, and you have indeed been listening to Loafer's Glory, the Hobo Jungle of the Mind. The lariat snaps. The cowboy rolls his pack and rides away. Back to the land the cowboy goes. Plumes of smoke from the factory sway in the setting sun. The curtain falls. A train in the darkness pulls away. Goodbye, says the rain on the iron roofs. Goodbye, say the barber poles. Dark, drum the vanishing horse's hooves. William J. Smith.
Loafer's Glory is produced at KVMR FM, Nevada City, and is distributed by the Pacifica Radio Network. You can write Utah Phillips at Box 1235, Nevada City, California, 95959, or you can call for a complimentary newsletter, 800-989-3825. Special thanks for their help with today's episode to Paul Emery.